Good morning, Times Square Church Summit Campus. I've been working on a sermon for a while and just a lot of thoughts and thinking and putting some things down. But I have something else that I feel the Lord is leading me this morning to share with you. And I just have the Bible, and it's all what we need. And I'll be sharing my heart with you. From time to time, I speak this message, especially when students come back. I've spoken a few times through the past few years, but this message is dear to me and is so close to my heart because God spoke through this scripture to me. When I was a student here, I've been going through a lot of things, a lot of struggles, a lot of failures, a lot of things that I was dealing in my heart, a lot of things that I thought, how can a person be free from things? You read the Bible, that if you're born again, you're free, and yet we're finding ourselves, I'm finding myself dealing with things, finding in my own strength, trying to have freedom, but yet I find myself in a hole. I remember I was sitting about over there in a pew before one chapel, and I opened up the Bible in discouragement, in just pain and defeat, if I can put it that way. And I began to read the Bible. Before the singing was going on, before the prayer was going on, it was just quiet. It was just a quiet. There were about 100 something students here in the sanctuary, and it was just quiet. But God was in the midst. And for the very first time, I began to understand the new covenant. For the very first time through this scripture, I began to understand for myself, what does the power of the cross means? What does it mean for Jesus Christ to die for you and to set you free once and for all? What does it mean to be embraced and loved by God unconditionally? Not as an excuse or not as a license to live a lifestyle in sin and to think that everything is okay with you, but actually to understand the love of God that brings you out of sin and gives you the grace to walk in victory. To walk in victory. And this passage spoke volume to me. It's not that I was not taught in school of the new covenant. It's not that I have not heard messages about the power of the cross. I've heard it all. I've sat in classes, but it was a revelation for me personally. And I pray this morning that it's a revelation for you. Maybe you're a visitor to this church. You're calling your church, this church, your home church. Or maybe you're a student here that you're here with us for a season. But I pray that this message throughout this word, that God will open up his love to you, that he will open up his grace and mercy to you, for me and you to be reminded and understand what it means to be born again, what it means to walk in victory, and what it means to be forgiven by Jesus Christ. And if you can open up with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we're going to be reading down, and the title of my message would be Promise You Won't Kill Me. Promise you won't kill me. And that ultimately was the cry of my heart back in the day. The cry of my heart that in agony, in a failure, or in pain, there is a cry in your heart that, man, I want to live. And you read the promises of the Lord that says, you shall live and not die and declare the ways of the Lord, the promises of the Lord. And you think that the scripture for somebody else. Because all what we want to do sometimes is just, man, I just don't want to live anymore because of the defeat. And you can have a smile. You can have very nice clothes. You can even probably drive very nice cars. And I've had all of those things in my life. But deep inside, there is pain. The deep inside, there is discouragement. Deep inside, there is defeat. And you feel like there is no purpose in this life for you. And there is a cry in your heart, man, I want to live. But if I only can open up to somebody what I'm going through, I don't know if they will accept me or reject me. And this is the generation we are facing today, that we want to be accepted. You see, the difference is when we want God to change us and we rely upon his Holy Spirit to do a work in our lives, God accepts us and he does that work in us. But there's another group of people that say, well, you got to accept me the way I am. Well, let me tell you that the Bible calls me and you to come to Jesus Christ the way we are. But because he loves us so much, he's not going to leave us the way we are. But he's going to change us. transform us and make us to be more like him. 1 Samuel chapter 30 will start in verse 4. And before we start reading, this is a passage where David is trying to hide for his life, running for his life. And it came a moment in chapter 29 when he's joining the Philistines into the war, and now he's rejected by them because they think that they're gonna turn against them, and the Philistines are telling David, you gotta go home. You're not gonna be battling with us. And now David is on his way to come home to his city Ziklag, and now this is what he's finding. Verse 4 and down. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives also been taken captive, Aham and Jezebel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmel. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Verse 7. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. So Abimelech brought the ephod to David, and David inquired to the Lord, shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them? He answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue. So David set out and set 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook Besor, and those who were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, 200 stayed behind, who were too exhausted to cross over the brook. They found an Egyptian in the open country and brought him to David. And they gave him bread and he ate. They gave him water to drink, and they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit revived, for he had not eaten bread or drink water for 3 days and three nights. And David said to him, to whom do you belong and where are you from? He said, I am a young man, an Egyptian servant of Amalekite. And my master left me behind because I fell sick 3 days ago. We had made a raid against the Nabob and the Cherethites, and against that which belonged to Judah, and against the Negeb of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, will you take me down to this band? And he said, swear to me by God that you will not kill me or deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this band. An amazing story. And almost it seems like, what's so special about this story? Where do you see the new covenant in this story? I see it everywhere. I see it everywhere. And this passage turned my life 180 degrees. This passage brought so much hope into my life, because when I was reading, I saw myself as this young Egyptian. You see, this young Egyptian, he was just doing what the enemy wanted him to do. He was in bondage. He was probably a slave, even relating himself to being Egyptian, a young Egyptian. It's a lot of history coming from Egypt and what Egypt represents. But now it came a moment that he says that, listen, even though when we burned the city, we took all the belongings, we took all the families, we did this raid, we did all those things, it came a moment that even the enemy doesn't need me anymore. And sometimes in our life, we can face that. Sometimes we might feel that way when we struggle with things, when we go through things in life. And don't forget that sin, it's pleasant in the moment, but the repercussions of those things is death. And so often we think, oh man, it's all of these things that the world sometimes gives or provides or offers into our life. They're so out of norm, and they are, but in the moment it's pleasant. But the repercussion of those things and the result of those things is deadly. And that's why Jesus Christ came to set us free. He came so we don't have to find satisfaction in this world, but we can find satisfaction in him. And this young Egyptian now is not even needed to the enemy. In the moment when the sin was sweet, in the moments when they were hyped up and they were doing things, he was needed, so to speak. But now he came a moment where even the enemy didn't need him. And he was left in the wilderness to die. And now David is looking for his family. David is looking for his belongings. David is looking for his wife, for his children, for his extended family, for his friends. And he's on a way to come. And there is so much division among the camp. There is weeping, anger. But David goes and encourages himself in the Lord. And God says, go pursue, because you're gonna get everything back what the enemy has stolen from you. And the first person on that journey that David inquires, or David sees, is this Egyptian. And they said that they found this Egyptian man and they brought him to David. So can you imagine, in the wilderness, sun is shining, and this person is already hungry, is about to die, he doesn't have strength to go forward with the plan. And now they're bringing him to David, and David has every right to kill him. David has every right to punish him. David has every right to wipe him out. But the Bible doesn't say that David did that. When they brought him to David, the Bible says that they gave him bread and they gave him water. And later on, I love this scripture. It says, and his spirit revived. That's amazing. I love this scripture. There is so much just into this verse that they gave him bread and they gave him water and his spirit revived. There's so many young people today that are left on the sides of the road, that are left in this world, the spiritual, they're dying even physically, they have no hope. And so much we can offer to them, do this or do that, do 7 steps, do 10 steps. But the word of God over here is very clear that they gave him water and bread. And throughout the scripture, we see and we are reminded that water and bread stands as a representation or a type of the word of God. The bread, the living bread of the word of God. And also the water is the power of the Holy Spirit. In different words, we live in a generation where we are not called to fix people up, but we are called to give them bread and allow the showers of the Holy Spirit to come and do the work in their lives and to revive them. To revive them. And I began to read the scripture. The scripture began to speak to me, and I was like, this is what I miss in life. It is this living bread. It's having a fellowship with the Lord. It's being fed by the word of God. And during that time, when I commit myself to him, being fed by the word of God, the Holy Spirit does the work in my life. It is not by might, no, by power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is when we are revived in him again. And this is when we are called to come to a place again to be reminded that not by bread alone man shall live, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Not by bread alone me and you shall live, but by this living word, the promises of God, and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and to revive us. Jesus himself, when he was tempted, when he was in the wilderness fasting, going to this journey, he was reminded of this word that not by man, by bread alone man shall live. How much more we as believers of Jesus Christ to be reminded that no, I need spiritual food as well. I need spiritual food as well. And I will be closing in a few moments, and I would like the worship team to come. This is not a long message. I'm just gonna share my heart, and I'm gonna share a few more truths with us, and we're gonna go in prayer. Because I believe there are people in this room that, yes, you are in Bible school, you came as a student, and you're just where I was. Maybe you call this church your home church, you're a visitor, and you feel like everything is fine from the outside, but inside you are recognizing that you're dying. And over here, the Bible says when they brought him to David, when his spirit revived, I call this other portion of this message a confession moment. Because God is calling us not to hide things away, but to confess our sin before him, the Bible says. Confess your sin before him, and he is just to forgive us and to wash us and to make us clean. And so often we have done things in our life that we're so embarrassed of that we keep them in our hearts, in our lives, and there's doors that we keep ourselves in prison. Those doors, nobody has put them on there. Those chains, nobody has locked them in on the door, but me and you did that because we thought that everybody's against us. And this is what happened with my life. I thought, oh my goodness, only if I can open up my mouth and only can I share some of my struggles, only if I can share some of the things that I'm going through. But he says over here that David is asking him now, where are you from? What have you done? What is the rest of the people? And you would expect that after he got bread and after he got water, after his spirit revived, that he'd be like, David, you're my best friend. I'm just gonna tell you the story. But this is not what happened. The first thing that this man had, he had a concern in his life. He had a question in his heart. And he says, David, if I open up my heart to you and if I tell you everything, promise me. Over here it says, swear to me by God. Promise me that you won't kill me. And this is the desire of so many people in the world, that they feel betrayed. They feel like the moment they're gonna open up to somebody, they're gonna feel betrayed, they're gonna be feel pushed away. The moment they're gonna just open up their hearts, they're just gonna feel that no longer they have friends. And this is the generation we live in. People that struggle, people that are in bondage, people that have done things and they want life. And we are to give them bread and water. This is our responsibility. Not to judge them, not to come and point fingers, but to give them bread and water and allow the Holy Spirit to revive their soul. But when that happens, they're gonna be in our midst. They're gonna come to our Bible school. They're gonna come to our church. They're gonna come to our homes. And now we're gonna ask them, tell me a little bit about you, what you have been through. And deep inside of their heart, there's a question. Promise me you won't kill me. Promise me you won't reject me. Promise me you're not gonna think differently of me if I open up of what I've been through, what I did in my life, the struggles I face day to day. Promise me that you're still gonna love me. Promise me you won't kill me. And the Bible says that this man that was an outcast, this man that was dying, this man actually brought David to the camp. God has a plan for you. Don't think that if you're relating yourself to this Egyptian young man, that your life is over. But God has a plan for you. This man actually was the key into fulfilling the promise that God had given to David. Pursue the enemy and take everything back. And this young man took him there. God has a plan for your life. Doesn't matter what you've been through. Doesn't matter where you are. When we come to Jesus Christ, he doesn't look at our qualifications, but he looks at us turning to him, putting our hope and trust in him. And when we do that, he directs our path. He leads us and guides us. And he has a plan for us. One evening, I was crying. Yes, men cry too. Girls, I'm telling you, men cry too. Girls tend to do more in public, but men tend to do more in private. That's the difference, but we cry too. And I began to just pray, and this scripture is so alive to me, and I'm praying. I'm like, God, but you know people. The Bible says, cursed is he who puts his trust in whom? Louder. Cursed is the man who puts his trust in man. But blessed are those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. And I began to pray and think and cry and all those emotions mixed, that man, who can promise me? Who can promise me that they are not gonna turn away from me, betray me, or think differently of me? I wanna live. I don't wanna die. I wanna live. Who can promise me that they won't kill me, not necessarily physically, but spiritually, in relationships, in friendships? Who can promise me? And now, in that moment, the Holy Spirit just began to speak into my heart and says, Pavel, even though if there is no man on earth that can promise you that they won't kill you, I can promise you that I will not kill you, because Jesus Christ was killed on a cross, died on a cross. So now you don't have to die for that, so you can live. And that was the power of the new covenant in my life. I related myself to this Egyptian man. David was a type of Jesus that came and gave me bread and gave me the Holy Spirit to seal the work, and also promised me that many people around you might turn away from you, but I will never leave you nor forsake you, because Jesus Christ took your place on a cross. So now you can live. So you don't have to die in sin. So you don't have to die in despair. So you don't have to die in discouragement, but you can live full of hope, full of the power of the Holy Spirit, and full of victory. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in this simplicity, this scripture, this story turned my life upside down, and I embraced the power of the cross, because no longer I have to die, no longer I have to suffer, no longer I have to pay for my sin, because somebody else did it for me. So no longer I have to wonder who can give me life. Because I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ died on a cross, so those who put their faith and trust in Him shall live forever, forever, ever, forever, and ever. Our life here on earth is only temporary. The moment we take our last breath is the moment we walk into eternity, Apostle Paul teaches us. And it's because of the beautiful gift that He has offered to me and to you to live forever by putting His faith and trust in Him and living for Him. Amen. At this time, I would like you to invite you, if you can stand with me. I'm gonna pray in a moment, and after that, if this word spoke to you and you're here today, that everything is good from the outside, but inside you have this question: man, promise me you won't kill me. I have things in my life I'm battling, nobody knows, but Jesus knows. And maybe I cannot promise that. No man maybe can promise you that. But let me tell you, Jesus Christ can promise you that, that He will not turn you away or kill you, because He was killed on a cross. He died on a cross. So now no longer you and I have to die for our sin, but we can live forever. And if this is you here, you need to embrace this gospel. This is gonna give you so much freedom in your life and liberty to be able to jump and live your life to the fullness, not being able to hold things back, but give it all to Christ, because He is our best friend. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your word that has power to speak to us in the moments of despair. And as You spoke to me 12 years ago, this scripture is so relevant still into my life. I often think about this scripture because it was the beginning steps of me understanding what it means to be born again, what it means to be accepted by You, what it means to be loved by You, what it means not to be afraid of death, what it means to accept Your love and live in Your love. Lord, if there are people in this room that are struggling with the same thing, that only if I can open up to somebody. But Lord, we open up to You. You can promise us that You will not turn us away or kill us, because You said You shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. This is Your promise, and we come to You now, embracing this promise. Would You set us free today? Would You set people free today how You set me free years ago? Free of fear, because perfect love casts out fear. God, I pray, would You heal our hearts? As we hear this word, let Your Holy Spirit now seal this word in our life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you're here that you have this question, promise me you won't kill me if I open up to you. You don't have to open up to me. Open up before the Lord, and He will promise you that He won't kill you, because His Son was killed on the cross, so now you and me can live forever. Join me here, and in a moment we'll pray.